thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Good morning, beautiful people of God. Look at you in your sea of Cokesbury blue. You are looking pretty good out there. Can you believe it's almost November 1st? Tomorrow. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun, right? We're having a lot of fun here at Cokesbury. The pumpkin patch, the movie night, all the things, the fellowship, the dinners. We are having fun here at Cokesbury out of our love for God in our community. I just want to say one thing. I have lost my name badge. So if I see anyone wearing it, you're going to be preaching next week. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Today is a day full of joy. And we continue to celebrate love in serving, love in giving, love in telling, love in sharing, love in community. We love because God first loved us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so grateful for this time to come and praise your holy name. Oh, we praise you, O God. We thank you, O God, for this gathering on this fifth Sunday where we come unified as one in your name, where we are blended in our worship and where we see friends we normally do not see, and where we can make new ones, Lord God. We are so grateful for the choir and the worship band and how they are ushering us into your throne. We praise your holy name, for you are worthy of all the praise. Thanks be to God. We love you, Lord. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Only two verses today, verse 7 and 8. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9. It's also on the screen behind me. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every good kind of work. More than enough for every good kind of work. Every good kind of work. More than enough. The word of God for the people of God. There are two things that I have been told and two things that I have heard as a clergy person to never talk about in church. Two. Money? And what's the other one? I guess you've been told that too. Money and politics. When it comes to money, I have heard sayings going back 20 plus years. The church has enough money, but it's all in your pockets. I think y'all have heard that one too. I've heard recently, and this was told to me last week, and I actually read it this week as well, questions about tithing. Do I tithe based on my net or my gross income? And the answer depends on if you want a gross blessing or a net blessing. All of these things, all of these sayings are more than enough. There are so many more. And they have some shock value and glean some laughter as well. There's this old story about a guy who came to church with his family. As they were driving home afterwards, he was complaining about everything. He said the music was too loud. I may have heard that one. He said the sermon was too long. I know I've heard that one. The announcements were unclear. The building was hot. The people were unfriendly, and the coffee was cold. He did not come to Cokesbury. He went on and on and on, complaining about everything. Finally, his very astute child said, "Dad, you've got to admit, it wasn't a bad show for a dollar." See, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 is appealing to the Corinthian church to follow the example of the Macedonians in giving sacrificially to help not only the poor, but the struggling Jerusalem church. Verse 7 is a well-known line. "Each of you must give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." See, this cheer comes from our faith in that we love God and want Him to know how thankful we are for all He has given us. This cheer comes from us loving others enough to see that their basic needs are met. This cheer comes from witnessing others praise God from the gifts received through us for them. Food, gift cards, our presents, our prayers, our willingness to serve in country, out of country. But I have to admit right now, I know from personal experience, sometimes it is difficult to give. Divorced and parenting alone, widowed with mounting bills, new job, growing family, new marriage, health issues, supplemental incomes, or maybe we are even thinking how hard we worked and we arrived here and deserve what we have. Or maybe it's hard to give, thinking we do not have enough and we have been shortchanged in life. There is love in giving. Saints, we are to be funnels. You know what a funnel is? Oh, I had a little funnel. You pour in, right? And a little bit comes out the other end. We're to be distributors. You know what a distributor is? You need to come on up here with me. And we're not to be warehouses, hoarding what is God's in the first place. There is love in giving. Over the years, my attitude toward giving shifted. Instead of thinking about what I don't have, I began to think about how many doors God opened for me. I began to think about how God is the Lord of my life, and that all the generosity that I received is and will never be mine in the first place. There is love in giving. As a steward of all of God's resources, we are caretakers of what it is and what will always belong to God, whether it's our home, our car, our bank account, our bodies. We are stewards. and caretakers of all that God has given us. Because what we have is only by the grace of God. See, we do not deserve God's grace, but we receive it anyway. The grace we receive from God demands a response. And one response is that there is love and giving. I want to say this because it needs to be clear sometimes. You know, you don't preach about money or politics, but today is about love. Any gift that we give must not be marked by the slightest degree of reluctance, because then it is not freely given, right? When you give a gift, you don't expect anything in return because you have given it away. Giving is a delicate transaction. If you put even the tiniest little string on the gift, then it is not truly a gift. Reluctance is a little string. Feeling obligated is a little string. Under compulsion is a little string. Designated only is a little string. We are called to trust God when we give. Because remember, God loves a what? A cheerful giver. A letter came to the post office bearing a child's handwriting and was addressed to God. A postal worker, not knowing what to do, opened it and read, "Dear God, my name is Jimmy and I am 6. My father died and my mother is having a hard time raising me and my sister. Would you please send us $500? The postal worker was touched. He took up an impromptu offering, collected $300, and sent it to Jimmy and his family. A few weeks later, they received a second letter addressed to God, thanking him for the money. But the boy ended with this request: next time, please deliver the money directly to our home. If you send it to the post office, they deduct $200. God does not ask a particular amount from us, only that when we give cheerfully. There is love in giving. It is an overflowing expression of thanks to God. The Greek word translated as cheerful is from the form of the Greek word hilaros, from which we get the word hilarious. Paul to the Corinthians is talking about this ecstatic, giddy attitude about giving. We have heard throughout the years, give until it hurts. No. Paul is saying, give until you laugh. It's not forced. It's not an illicit guilt. It's not supposed to hurt. It is supposed to feel good. Give until you laugh, until you are giddy, until you feel joy. Give so you can feel like you feel when you walk through the pumpkin patch or when you hear a child's laughter. Give until you feel that there's joy coming out of you, abundant joy, like you feel when you're watching a good comedy. You know what I'm talking about. There should be fun and joy and not obligation or reluctance in giving. It is about us being faithful as followers of Jesus Christ. Today is not only a celebration, but a challenge. I shared last week that I joyfully give 12% of my income. Remember, you're not supposed to talk about money or politics. But I shared that because it took me a while to hilariously give. Years. But I don't mind talking about money. I don't mind talking about giving. Because I believe, and I shared this last week, I believe in what we are doing as the church. Even amongst the complaints, because I get them all, I believe and have faith that eternal life and the light of Christ and the salvation and forgiveness and grace and redemption is right here at Cokesbury through Jesus Christ. There is love and giving. There is transformation and giving. There is joy in giving. And it can be contagious. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, you're going to know this one too. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is love and giving. Too often, we are like the little boy from many moons ago, whose mom gave him 2 quarters. One was for his Sunday school offering. The other was for an ice cream cone on the way home from school. I told you it was many moons ago. On his way to church, he was flipping 1 quarter in the air and catching it on the way down. This happened many times. And all of a sudden, he missed catching it, and it rolled down the storm sewer, and it was gone. The boy looked skyward and prayed, "Sorry, God." Y'all will get that in a minute. Our hearts are often tied to our money instead of Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always, and in everything to provide more than anything for every kind of good work. We are doing the good work right here, not only for each other, for our community, for Brightbridge, for the food distribution internationally. We are doing the good work. You know, I laugh all the time. I must laugh enough for people who view worship later on to be recognized. I don't know if I shared this with you, but I was having a dinner with someone. I'm going to say Denise McLeod. We were having dinner out. And someone came up to me and said, "Pastor Sheila?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I heard you laugh. I listen to you online all the time." I had no idea who she was. Give until your laughter is so recognized in the community and the world that people know It is the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ through us making a difference. Our giving originates with God. For he so loved the world that he gave his son to us first. So I ask, what am I going to ask for? That you give cheerfully, without designation, with trust and love, that you give to the mission and the ministries of this church, that you give until you laugh and are filled with joy. Giving at Cokesbury Church, Cokesbury United Methodist Church, should not hurt. It should feel good. It should give joy. I have a pledge card. You did not receive them on your way in, because that would be awkward. So on your way out, pray. Grab one and pray. Spend some time praying about how God is calling you to give to the mission and the ministry right here at Cokesbury. We are making a difference. And I pray that you trust God and that you give until you look crazy laughing because of the joy that God has given us. It is because of God's grace that we have the power to give, that we have the strength to give, and that we have the faith to give. Remember, saints, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The first gift to all of us is God's love. So don't give until it hurts. Give until you laugh. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.